the f by itself.
You want to have resolve the subset to be the relation, to be the graph of an equivalence relation. So here again, you see the notion of an equivalence relation is one which pertains to the yoga, first of all, to left inverse limits, which reduces to the case of sets by taking the replacing every object by the continuum function that represents. All right. So I assume now, so on the one hand, we have the notion of quotient of an object, and we have also the notion of an equivalence relation object. And we have a construction which to a quotient associates an equivalence relation, another construction which to an equivalence relation associates a quotient. Namely, if we have a quotient G of F, we can associate to this the fiber product, assuming it exists, F times GF, which is contained at the sub-objection F times F, if we assume that this exists, otherwise we work in the FBC head of continuum functors. All right, and this turns out to be an equivalence relation in F, because we just have to check the same thing argument-wise by introducing the parameter Z, and then it's just the corresponding statement about sets. In fact, this needed not even to be an epimorphism. If you have a morphism, a map of sets, then the fiber product of F times itself over G is an equivalence relation in F. All right? So to an equivalence relation, we can associate, to an epimorphism, and in fact to any morphism, we can associate an equivalence relation. And on the other hand, if you have an equivalence relation like this, you can associate to this, to the equivalence relation, a quotient, namely taking the two projections of F times F into itself and composing this with the inclusion of R into F times F, we get a double arrow from R into F. And we can take the cocoron of this double arrow of R into F, which appears to be endowed with a morphism of F into it, which turns out necessarily to be an epimorphism. All right, so we have two associations to a morphism. You can associate an equivalence relation, to an equivalence relation, you can associate a morphism. And you can wonder whether in this way you have a perfect correspondence perhaps between epimorphism on the one hand, that viewed as the quotient object of F, epimorphism after isomorphism, and equivalence relations. Let's say those quotients of F, which are such that taking the corresponding equivalence relation and taking the quotient back again so that we get the same quotient, they are called effective quotients of F. And the same way, starting with an equivalence relation, taking the corresponding quotient and taking the fiber product, which a priori might be bigger than R, you see, then we get R again, we'll say that the equivalence relation is effective. And the problem of whether equivalence relations and arbitrary equivalence relations and arbitrary quotient objects correspond exactly to each other can be phrased either by saying, can be phrased by saying that all equivalence relations are effective and all quotients are effective. Now, this is an exactness property of that a category may have or not, and it's well known that it's true for the category of sets. We know quite well in the category of set, quotient sets of a given set just correspond to equivalence relation with a set. But it turns out that the very way these things have been formulated, it is formulated in terms, in fact, of finite direct limits and finite inverse limits. Never mind finiteness for the direct limits, but we do mind it for the inverse limits. And therefore, this property carries over automatically to the category of sheaves. In the category of sheaves, every equivalence relation is effective, every quotient object is effective. In other words, there's a one-to-one correspondence between equivalence relations and quotient objects. All right, so I think we stop here. And next time, I guess we will finish up the generalities about sheaves of computable spaces.